everyone, and welcome to Planet FM, meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6. My name's Siobhan, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'll be chairing our meeting this morning. Could you please all help me open with the Serenity Prayer? God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, and does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Today we have the International Birds of a Feather, a group of aviation members of AA, joining us this morning. And firstly, I'd like to introduce to you Brian. Would you open the meeting for us, please?
Hi, my name is Brian. I'm an alcoholic. My home group's Takapuna, 4th of October 2015. It's been a great pleasure to have put my hand up for my disease. I'd fell and injured myself after a night on the booze. I didn't want to go home to my family. I wanted to just be lost. I don't know why. It was actually after a sailing event with kids, and I was so surprised how fast I was drinking rum until I passed out. And it wasn't until the morning I woke up and found out that I'd actually fallen over and hurt myself pretty bad. I didn't know who to turn to. I didn't know anyone in recovery. I didn't know about AA. I knew no one in AA. My advice from my previous doctors, you should lay off the beersies. But I knew in aviation that there was a program for recovery, and the only person I knew to talk to was a doctor at work. So I called the doctor, and I told him a bit of my story. I said, I'm unfit for duty. And I need to have a chat about the program of recovery we have in aviation. And he goes, Brian, it will be all right. I'll make an appointment to see you in a day or two. So are you right till then? I said, yep. And so I was at home, curtains drawn, two big black eyes from where I'd hurt myself. And came and saw the doctor. Doctor took me to the aviation psychiatrist, or addiction psychiatrist. Got diagnosed medically, medical intervention, I guess you would call that. And the words from him were, good luck. Don't take this disease seriously. You need to get some psychological help from addictions counselors. You need to get in touch with peers that have been through it and get a 12-step program. Do your regular drug testing and come back and see us in 3 months and we'll see how you're getting on. And so from there I was taken to, I was actually at home. It took me probably another week or two, and a fellow workmate pilot rang up and said, Brian, hey, I've heard a little bit of your story. Do you want to catch up for a coffee? And I said, yeah, sure. He goes, bring your medical report. And I bought my medical report, and he said, can I have a read of it? I go, okay. And he had a read of it, and he goes, I've heard it all before. Do you want to go to a meeting? And he took me to Takapuna. So anyway, that was 10 years ago. Sponsor, got the steps. I've done what you've said to me. Don't pick up. Get to a meeting. Pray for a sober day. Get a sponsor. And do the steps. So I've done that a couple of times now with the same sponsor. Probably when I was about 2 years sober, I got involved with the HIMS group. It's this how we look after our pilot medicals when you deal with addiction. Lyle P came to New Zealand. His story is in the big book called Grounded. He's a fellow pilot, ex-US Marine pilot, and also airline pilot. And during driving him around to go and speak, He said, we have birds of feather. I said, what's that? He goes, it's the air crew in recovery. And I said, oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah, we meet. I go, really? How often do you meet? And he goes, we meet weekly in Atlanta. I go, oh, yeah. How many pilots? He said, 40. And I went, what, 40 pilots? I said, how do you run your meetings? He says, it's just the AA meeting. It's a specialty group of AA is registered in New York, and maybe some of the other speakers today will talk a little bit more of the history of it. Since 1975, it's been registered in New York. It's simply a specialty meeting of air crew. And I just want to read out our signalness of purpose. So Birds of Feather was formed in response to the need for meeting places for pilots and air crew members where the subject of addiction to alcohol might be discussed with impunity and anonymity. The cultural bias concerning the subject has prevented many in the past from seeking advice. Our concern is recovery from alcoholism. We have no loyalties to any company, government institution, medical facility, union, employee assistance program, treatment center, or specific recovery program. Birds of Feather has contributed immeasurably to our recovery and to the spirit of passing this philosophy on to others who might also benefit is the reason for Birds of Feather. Deadly disease, indiscriminate, it cuts through all walks of life, whether you're air crew, doctor, lawyer, judge, patch, gang member, parent, kid, we're no different to the rest of the public. I don't think it's any more, any less prevalent than out there in the real world, but the recovery happens in the rooms of AA. So for me, the recovery happened in the rooms of AA with members of the public. So to me, Birds of Feather is just a little bit of gravy on the top, but it gives us an opportunity where we can talk about the stresses of flying with peers. You know, we're away from our families a lot. We have lots of training to do that is stressful. There's a lot of fatigue to deal with in the job. Where maybe we can talk to each other about it as opposed to the public who may or may not fully understand the life of an airline pilot. You know, I've done the 12 steps. I've done some service. So from when Lyle came to New Zealand, we started Birds of Feather in New Zealand, probably about 2017, 2018. We started it in our homes, just like the big book, and we shared it. So we went from house to house to house once a month. When Zoom happened, it came on to, oh, when COVID happened, we moved on to Zoom, and we now meet monthly on Zoom. You know, it's been great pleasure to see an international meeting that started in 1975 spread its way all around the world, and now we have air crew pilots, junior pilots just learning to fly, aviation sectors from all aviation sectors in New Zealand, aerial top dressing, airlines, training, and seeing people, saving people's lives and saving their careers. The aviation industry is probably the most grown-up industry that I've seen that deals with aviation. We treat it as a disease. So beautiful people with great talent who have a terrible disease. And if they get recovery and they choose to get recovery and let go and let God and get into the program, there's a good chance they'll have their career. So the success rate of air crew in recovery is about 80%, which is really high. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to AA, and it's just a little bonus that I get to share a bit of time with fellow crew members. So thanks for having me on Planet FM. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Siobhan.
Thanks so much, Brian, and giving us that input on what happens in the aviation industry. And if I can now ask you, Morten, to give us a bit of experience, strength and hope, and your experience with AA.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Morten. I'm an alcoholic. I came into the program through a DUI, so involuntary. I fought every step of the way for the first several months. It wasn't my fault that this happened. It wasn't my fault I had a DUI. That was the cop that arrested me. That was his fault. But deep down, I knew that something wasn't right. I would wake up every morning with the shakes and withdrawals and all that. And it wasn't until after my second relapse and third time through treatment that it really sunk in that, you know, I do have a problem and I need to take care of this. So after that happened, I really jumped into AA, and I got serious about working the steps with my sponsor. My home group is the New Start group. That's where I met my sponsor. As for Birds of a Feather, I live in Atlanta, so I go to a meeting there every Wednesday when I can. If I'm at work in Charlotte, then I go to their meeting up there, which is a great thing because it's, you know, it's been, at least in the U.S., it's in most of the big cities. Through AA is where it finally clicked for me that, you know, I can have a life, you know, in sobriety and without needing to drink every day. And it happened for me in a dream where I can never remember my dreams, but I remember this one vividly. And I woke up and I felt just free of it all. And I think that was that spiritual experience that they talk about in the 12 steps, you know, once you, it'll happen for you, it'll happen for some, it happens slowly, for some it happens faster, and I was on the slow train, but it happened, and I just refused to give up. I just kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and until it worked for me, and it just, for me it was persistence was the key. I did lose my job. I did from the airline that saved my life, basically, through having me go through treatment. You know, they paid for 3 rounds of treatment for me. But I ended up at the end of it losing my job. I hope maybe I can go back there, but if not, there's plenty of other places to go work. And going through this program, I truly believe that you become a better employee, a better person. You're a more trustworthy person for sure. You're not going to call in sick to work as often. And, you know, if you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it and you're going to be there. Throughout the process, I have also started a master's degree in substance abuse counseling. I've just in January this year started my pre-doctoral coursework, so I'm going to become eventually a PhD clinical psychologist, and my plan is to work directly with those that come behind me and try to help them avoid the rough road that I've had. It's been 4.5 years since my medical was surrendered after the DUI, and I'm still not back yet. Hopefully it'll happen in the next few months, but it will happen when it happens. In the meantime, my focus is on, you know, maintaining my own sobriety, giving back, doing the service work, and, you know, obviously lots of homework. But, you know, I'm enjoying it now. I'm enjoying the sober life that I didn't think I would. Initially, I didn't think I would be able to make a life for myself without drinking, because that's what I've been doing since I was 18 years old. But once you get over the hump and you get comfortable in your own body, with your own mind, without substances, it's actually a much better life.
Great. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Morten, for sharing your experience there. Now I'd like to pass it over to you, Scott, if you'd like to take over your sharing.
Yes. thank you very much. I'm Scott. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you very much for having us here today and getting a chance to visit your beautiful country in this convention that I'm a part of. I'm very grateful for all of this. I like Morten mentioned, I also... A DUI is what sent me into this program. But that was the final straw. I was ready. I started drinking in my early 20s in college. and thought it was all normal drinking, just a little bit more than my friends, but all seemed normal. And after that, I joined the military, which, although it's changed quite a bit in the last 10 years, it had, still had a culture of drinking, working hard, and playing hard. And that's kind of how my drinking career went, on the weekends, binge drinking and celebrating the ups and the downs and dealing all of that with alcohol. Leaving the military, I joined an airline, and the wonderful thing about airline work is it's all long weekends. You might be gone for 3 or 4 days, but then it'll be back for 3, 4, 5 days at home. So that drinking on the weekends turned into multiple days. And finally, after my second divorce and I moved back home, I found I had all those days alone, and there wasn't anyone to see the empty beer cans on the counter, and it just got worse and worse and worse. I needed that DUI to push me over the edge to make a change for myself. That next day I called we have a union committee that works with the HIMSS program. I talked to them the next morning and found a solution to my problems, and joined the HIMSS, went to treatment, and just found a beautiful new way of life. Got back home and worked with a sponsor working through the steps. The Bird's Nest I attend regularly is in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but I also attend, the Birds of a Feather has Al-Anon meetings as well, and I've found that fills in some gaps and is an extra piece of the pie of my recovery, which has just been wonderful. The things that I've noticed most quickly was relationships. What this program has taught me is interpersonal relationships and dealing with those better, most closest to my heart with my three boys, and seeing those turn around and heal and grow in the past 2.5 years has just been wonderful, and is why I wake up each morning glad to have another chance to do one day at a time today. And looking forward to tomorrow as well. Yes, this is a wonderful design of living, and I'm really excited about this chapter in my life. Yeah, I'm very glad to be here. Thank you very much, Siobhan.
Thank you so much, Scott. It's amazing to have an international group here. I'd now like to just read a little piece of the promises, the ninth step promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And so we've got a few more minutes to fill in for this show, so I'll just introduce myself. I'm Siobhan, and I'm an alcoholic, a grateful alcoholic. I was also involved in the aviation industry from 1999 and have been in and out of being a flight attendant over that period. And so I really appreciate having you guys in here today, because it does have quite a different aspect when you're allowed to be away from home. And I think the culture that I noticed when I was away, that when we got in, we went straight out for drinks. And so just that initial landing and being quite hypoxic and everyone congregating and saying, hey, you know, like, where's the bar? And filling in the long nights while you're away from home, adds that extra challenge, I really believe, that makes it quite difficult in that sort of work to maintain your sobriety. And so I think the fact that you have an international group which can keep you in contact with each other. I often explain, as I do host this show, that a lot of the people that are listening abroad actually, you know, are in aviation, or they are people that can't get to meetings, and this is their only opportunity to connect with other alcoholics. My experience with being in meetings and having to regularly attend meetings is that without the connection of other alcoholics who can understand, like, my personal anxieties and the way that when I pick up that first drink, I can't stop, is something that I need to share with a group. And I found that when I spent time with normal people, they would always be asking me, you know, whether I could just have one. Funnily enough, especially when I was flying, you know, one would be okay, not understanding the fact that once I picked up that first one, I could be out for days, and that would affect my job, maybe being able to get to my job legally. And so there are all those extra layers to appreciate as well. I've now been in recovery for 7 years, and I'd been through different types of, I didn't come in through a DUI, but I did come in through some fairly serious health problems. And in that time, I lost my family, my business, and pretty much everything. And had to start life again. I had tried CADS, I'd tried psychotherapy, I'd tried groups, I've tried so many different things. And when I was in my last, it felt like my last chance of life, I was put into a rehab where they mentioned trying AA. The reason I didn't come into AA initially after leaving the rehab was, funnily enough, the step across the door to go from being outside and then into a group meant that I'd have to actually say the words, "Hi, I'm Siobhan, I'm an alcoholic." I found that really, really difficult, because what it meant for me was that I'd have to stop drinking. And drinking was the only way of life that I'd known. I'd been doing it for 30 years. It's how I got through everything. Whenever I felt sad, when I felt happy, when there was a problem, I turned to alcohol. So admitting I was an alcoholic and walking into a room full of strangers was terrifying for me. And I also was in aviation, so I was afraid if I went into a meeting and people would know who I was, I would lose my my privacy and maybe lose my job. So I was really surprised when I walked into some of the women's meetings in New Zealand, and people would put their hands up and say, you know, that they'd worked within, they'd been flight attendants as well. Like one of the others, like Morton shared, I relapsed 3 times after first coming into AA, and each time I came back into the rooms, they would often say, you know, "Welcome back." And I'd always been in trouble for my drinking, so I was really unfamiliar with the fact that people would say, "Keep coming back," because in my experience, it had been like, "You're in trouble again, please leave." And so having a group of people put their arms around me every time I fell over was the difference between drinking and not drinking and coming back in and trying again, and that persistence. Because if I didn't have that connection with people, I would feel isolated again. And I believe that alcoholism is really also a disease of isolation. So I'm really, really grateful to all of you for coming in to share today. Not being isolated and being connected and being honest. Someone else mentioned honesty today. I never lie anymore. I used to lie about the colour of my dress. I didn't know any other way, because I was lying about what I drank. And it's beautiful to live in a way that's quite peaceful these days. I'm just so grateful for AA and the people that it connects me with. So thank you again for coming in to share. So that is all we do have time for today. And just again, I'd like to thank Brian, Morton and Scott. And if we could please just let everyone know that we are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. here on Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757. Or go to the AA website at aa.org.nz, where you'll find a whole raft of information. Could we all please close the meeting with the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back.